Welcome to the Beverly Boulevard Foursquare Church. It's Sunday, October 17th, 2021. Pastor Sony is speaking. Our message today is entitled, Living in Babylon. Our text comes to us from Daniel chapter 2, verse 26. And now, here's Pastor Sony.
So, we're going to God's words today, and we're beginning a study in the book of Daniel that will take us several Sundays. So there's only one scripture I'd like to bring to you, and then I will make my comments on where the Lord wants us to go in this season, in this time. Daniel chapter 2, we see it in the screen, and it says, the king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? Again. The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? May God bless the reading of his word. This is intended to be practical Christian living. And the book of Daniel, along with other books, were written at a time when God's people misbehaved and God allowed for the Babylonians to take him into captivity. They were living in Jerusalem, and they were having a wonderful time, but they became somewhat disobedient to the voice of God, and so they were taken. Nebuchadnezzar came and conquered Jerusalem, and they were taken from the land of God, the land of cultural understanding, to a foreign and hostile world of anguish and anti-God of the Bible. So I sometimes think about us and the culture we're living in and how difficult it's been. And the question before us today is, how do you live a good life, a Christian life, in a hostile environment? How do you live when every time you turn on the television or you listen to the radio, the news, or you open up the pages of whatever platform you use, speaks to you about awful things that have nothing to do and contradict God's word and God's view of who you are and who I am and his purposes for this world. So last week, someone told me, did you hear about Superman? I said, yeah, I heard about it. Sexualization of cartoons, and Superman now is gay, supposedly. And this is the A. Aquí es donde vivimos. Here is where we live. And I was thinking to myself, why should I find it strange to see the world acting that way? Because the world is hostile to Christianity. Years ago, I remember bringing a message saying the Babylonians are coming. And then I remember telling you the Babylonians have landed. And we live in an environment of Babylon, hostile to Christianity. Don't expect the world to accommodate your beliefs. They will do everything they can to debunk them and to pull them away and to ridicule you and to say, you need to conform to us, putting away your godly principles. In the days of Daniel, of course, there was a polytheistic, unbelieving bunch of people who were not afraid of anything and were just self-centered and just as ugly as humanity can be. A culture that is driven only for self-satisfaction, a culture that is materialistic, and everything you see around you was found in Babylon. So today I want to draw one principle, and there are many, but one of them anyway, as to how to really live our life of faith in a society that is hostile to you. And how you and I need to make up our minds that this world, unfortunately, is not necessarily going to get any better. Because it is the way it is today as it was yesterday. And it will be the same tomorrow until the Lord comes and reigns in the world. But between now and then, there are hostilities in the world. But the amazing thing is that God called you and God made it possible for you and I to live in this time to serve him. In spite of the hostilities that we find in the world. Had you lived in another time, he would have called you to live in that time for him in spite of the hostilities of the world at that time. There's never been a time when the world accommodates itself to the gospel. There's always hostility. For years, our country had a tremendous past in the sense that there was a lot of things we could do in this country that we could not do in other countries. And they accommodated, yes, to a great degree, our faith and our commitment to God's word, because we had a good beginning. But all good beginnings don't necessarily end well. And unfortunately, we are facing an epidemic of antichrist, an epidemic of anti-religion, anti-faith. We find idolatry to the right and to the left. And the devil is using sex as one of the biggest tools to just simply dethrone the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. See, what the devil does, he takes something good and makes it bad. He makes it bad because he puts his hands on it and torches it and makes it totally unacceptable to you as a human being, or it should be, and to the creation. God is the one who made sex, and he ordered how sex should be done and how it should be played and the place that it has in your life and in my life. But the devil has taken that and has twisted it all around and has perverted it. Everything the devil touches, he perverts. So when you look at what happened to Daniel, it all begins in chapter 1. And you know, you've read this before, I am sure. But I'm always amazed at chapter 1 because it says in the third year of the reign of King of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. I mean, that is, it just should just utterly do away with all the thinking you could possibly have, how God works in our lives. And in this one verse tells us that Nebuchadnezzar was coming and he took the city. He besieged it. He surrounded it and said, this is mine. I'm going to get it. And you go on reading, and it says, and the Lord delivered Jerusalem to the Babylonians. Now, I'm telling you, it is something to think about all the time. Because, you see, God is not Rip Van Winkle. God is not sleeping at the helm. God knows what goes on in society. And God says, do this, and this will happen. Don't do this, and this will happen. And there's blessing and there's cursings. And there are actions upon our lives that we need to cope with and that we need to be responsible for. Well, it happened at 578 B.C. And at that, and actually, there are two times that Babylon comes to Jerusalem. The first one is 578, where he took, after the siege of this city, 10,000 people captives back to Babylon. He took the best, the cream of the crop. He took the noblemen, the professionals, the artists, the sculptors. He took the professors, the wise people, everything that was good and healthy and strong. And he took them, says, you're going to come to Babylon. And the rest he left there. 10 years afterwards, he goes back to Babylon and destroys everything. But we're looking at this period where Daniel is taken by Babylon, taken all the way to that city. He was going to be, I try to say it, I wrote it down. He was going to be Babonialized. It's my own word. He was going to become a Babylonian. Because he was immediately filled with the teachings and the understandings of Babylon. And it goes on saying he was to teach them language and literature of the Babylons. And they were to be trained for 3 years. And then they were to enter the king's service. He was really doing a brainwashing. Because once he had the elite that believed the Babylonian way, the rest would be easily convinced and taken. So you see, Daniel is one of those who's taken. And he did learn the Babylonian language. And he did understand the culture of the Babylonians. In different passages, you find that Daniel was one of the best, one of the wisest of the wise. He was all of that. He was empowered by the king. He was a very strong person. He was able to live in Babylonian society. But I mean, he suffered everything that we all suffer when we go from one country to another country. And one of them was his name was changed along with the others. He was Daniel in the Jewish world, but he was Belteshazzar in the Chaldeans, in the Babylonian world. This identity issue is something that Daniel had to cope with, like you and I have to cope with in our society. Because in our society, we are in the world, but we're not off the world. We don't belong to the world. So we find that this man, Daniel, did everything he could to learn, and he did everything he could to obey and to submit to the authority of the king. However, there was something that Daniel did that you and I need to learn from. He resolved in his heart not to drink the Kool-Aid. Well, it doesn't say that way. It says that he resolved not to defile himself with the royal food. There was something about Daniel's heart that allowed him to keep himself to God while living and serving in Babylon. So this is what I really want to bring to you this morning. That we need to learn how to be Christians in Babylon. And the word defile, I think, gives it away, doesn't it? Where you are in the midst of trash, but you're not going to eat the trash. You're in the midst of conflict, but you're not going to engage in that conflict. You're going to guard your heart. You will not become defiled. But here is the trick. You still need to live in this society and in this culture. So there are two opposing views as to how you and I should live as Christians today. And you find it in the scriptures as well. There was a man by the name of Hanani who appears in Jeremiah. And Jeremiah was another one of those books that were written when God's people were in exile. And in Jeremiah 28, and let's see if I can find it, because I know it's in the Bible. That is to say, has not left Jeremiah. There it is. Have you sometimes think that Bibles disappear? I mean, books of the Bible disappear when you're looking for them. Anyway, that's just me. Jeremiah 28. There's this prophet, Hanani, who was a false prophet. And God's people, what they did when they arrived, in the second bunch, when they arrived in, you know, the first time that Nabuchodonosor comes, and then 10 years afterwards he comes again, and everybody else is driven into the area of Babylon, they encamped around the city and did not want to go in. And Hanani said, "You're doing right. Stay away from that wicked city, because God is going to bring you out of it and God's going to rearrange everything for you, but don't go in there." And then when Jeremiah hears this, he says, "Wait a minute, that's not the word of the Lord." And so it's fascinating reading, you know, talk about, you know, castles and conflict and intrigue. It's all there. But in chapter 28, the prophet says, you should stay away from Babylon. You should not go into the city. You should just stay away, far, far. Separate yourselves. Make your own church. Make your own society. Make your own group. But then all of a sudden, Jeremiah says, this is not right. That's not what God said to begin with. Because the reason we are where we are is because God brought us here because of our disobedience. Amen. We're trying to kind of like say God had it wrong. He's punishing us for something that we really should not have been punished, because the reason they were there is because they disobeyed the voice of the Lord. So in God's love and charity and understanding and comprehension that blows our mind, he causes this exile to exist for a purpose and for a reason. And sometimes I think it's just God just cleaning stuff. making a difference between those who are and those who are not. So to make this very long story short, Jeremiah says, this is what the Lord really says. Says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. I'm reading chapter 29 of Jeremiah and verse 4. And this is what God says while they're in exile. This is what he says when they're in the midst of a polytheistic culture, anti-God, anti-everything good and holy. You know what he says to them? Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry, not marry as M-R-R-Y, but marry, casate. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there, do not decrease, and also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. See, Daniel resolved in his heart not to defile himself and live in a hostile city. But these prophets were trying to say, hey, no, it doesn't cut it. What you have to do is leave. You have to get out of Dodge. Find a place where you can do your own rituals and your own life, and you don't have to put up with all the hostilities. And the Lord says, that's not. As a matter of fact, this false prophet was stoned and killed within a year because he was saying the wrong thing. You and I cannot escape this world. I remember years ago when some people were trying to bring, heaven to earth. And there was a movement of establishing Christian communities. I don't know if you remember this or heard of it. But anyway, the idea was that all of us Christians are going to get together. We're going to put the money into one pot. We're going to buy a tract of land. We're going to put homes. And we're all going to be Christians. I said, Lord, that's a living hell. Everybody judging everybody else. Everybody picking against one or the other. Because that's carnality. And, well, we're in the flesh. And, of course, that they did try to build and they did try to get some homes, but it never worked out. It didn't work out. God has not called us into communes. He said, go into all the world. So, three things in getting the big picture today. And that's the first one, getting the big picture. Understand that you and I, just like the Jews in Babylon, we are here by God's design. I carried you there. And why did God carry the people of God into a hostile environment? They were disobedient, needed discipline. I'm not saying that you're here because you need discipline. I'm just letting you know that you're here because God wanted you to be here. And that you cannot rearrange your society around to make it fit what you think is right and wrong. We are the salt of the earth. We don't need much salt. God scattered us all over the place so that we can bring gusto to life. God is at work. God is at work in your life and in my life. And we're placed where we're placed by the design of God. Some of us who come from another country may very well understand how difficult it was to travel from wherever you are to this country and the difficulties that exist and the strain and oh my goodness. Sometimes I speak with Rosa regarding Peru. Sometimes I speak with some of my brothers from Nicaragua. Sometimes I even speak with Argentinians, but of course you're the most fun to talk to. And we all are stretched. And the final outcome is we're here by God's design. No matter what situations, you and I are where we are. Get the big picture. God is involved in your life in spite of the culture around you. Amen. God knows where you are. God knows where you live. God knows the temptations you face every day. God knows everything about you. God knows all about you. Get the big picture. God's in charge of your life. Don't say, oh, la cultura, oh, the culture, oh, the sexualization of cartoons. Oh, just turn that thing off and live for God. Make a commitment in your heart. You're not going to defile yourself. And I'll tell you how, the last point. So the big picture is God's involved. How are we going to live out God's purposes in our life? Well, the prophets, in Jeremiah 28, 29, one of them advocates for separation, as I mentioned. And they would say, you know, what you need to do is separate yourself completely from them. But there's another alternative, you know, and that's becoming like them, which would be assimilation. And the idea of separation from everything that is out there, it makes it impossible because you, like Paul says, how are we going to do that? We're going to have to be out of the world to function, and we cannot get out of the world. That's why we're in the world, but not of the world. You have to learn how to live in the midst of a wicked and perverse society by not contaminating your heart. So assimilation is like a blended life of sorts, you know. Separation, nada que ver. Assimilation, you know. Like, I remember people telling me, I don't shop over there because that market, it was birthed by the Mormons. Well, I don't go to that place because that man there is Roman Catholic. Well, I don't go over there because they're, well, what about that? Well, they're unbelievers. Then how can you go with an unbeliever? I mean, you go out of your mind. See what I'm saying? You cannot separate yourself, then you're not become one of them. You cannot assimilate and be like one of them. Because if you're one of them, what are you good for? So it's not separation or assimilation. That's a false choice. It's living the Christian life in the midst of a perverse and difficult and lost generation. Preserving your heart in the Lord. So when you keep looking at the big picture of God working, then you look at the options you have. Should I be separate? Should I be assimilated? You need to go to God's scripture. And so Jeremiah says, build houses. Yes, build houses and plant vineyards and live in the city. Be proactive in the city. Get involved. Be part of the citizenship. That's why sometimes I don't lose it because I can keep it. Well, sometimes I do when you don't see me. You know, when I say to you, you need to vote for the candidates that reflect your values because that's your heart. We don't advocate for one candidate or the other, but we say, what does the Democrats believe? What the independents believe? What do the Republicans believe? Where's your heart? Vote your heart. Vote your convictions. Vote so that your heart, that we hope has not been defiled by the enemy, will correspond your actions in voting and exercising citizenship, which is part of God's call to your life. Get involved. Esa se la regalé. That was not my note, so that's a gift. But it's true. It's true. Get involved. And, let me see. I have it here, you know. And they said, how long is this going to last? And the scripture very good says, listen, everybody. He says, I know the plans I have for you. God says, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future in the midst of a wicked and perverse Babylonic exile. You have to understand God's intent to make you flourish in the midst of crud. That came out right. Is that permissible? Thank you. Do I have your grandmother's approval? Somewhat. You don't know Millie. She still haunts me. Yeah, you laugh, but if you would know her, you would understand why I'm saying what I'm saying. You know. Yeah. So it says, also, it says, this is how you're going to do it. He says, this is how you get to do it. This is how you get there. First, big picture. Second, an option, separation or assimilation. No, it's not an option. So how do you live in a city. How do you live in the midst of a vulture culture, a creepy culture, nasty culture, ugly culture, bad culture? Pray. See, you know, I've always, you know, I'm not a football or a sports enthusiast of any kind. I mix Dodgers with Broncos, and I don't know the difference. They talk about those who play basket and those who play baseball, and I don't know the difference. I know one ball is bigger than the other, and that's about it. But listening to a commentary one time, I've never forgotten. Lombardi, one of the greatest football coaches of all time. They won the Super Bowl. I think that's what it was. So they won something. I guess it was. And all of a sudden, they said, now that you reach this pinnacle, that, I mean, there's nothing else there. What are you going to do now? You reached it. You know what he said? Go back to the basics. And so when his team convened after that, they went through the basics of how to play the game. So when you and I find ourselves in a predicament, we go to the basics. The basics of our life, the basics of our faith. We don't have to invent something new. We already know what we're supposed to do. So verse 7 of chapter 29 of Jeremiah says, also, by the way, entre paréntesis, así lo digo, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you. Pray to the Lord for it, because it prospers. If it prospers, you will prosper. Pray for the city. When he speaks about praying for the city, praying for the peace of the city, is the Hebrew word is shalom. And the word shalom is more than just absence of war. It speaks about completeness. It speaks about your life being put together right, where things fit together. And this is what you and I need to do. Bring to God those issues that so concerns us, that are out of whack in our city, in our culture. Pray. The prayer of the righteous availeth much. Amen. We forget that tool, that weapon, that marvelous experience of praying in the presence of God. We minimize prayer. Somebody said, I can't do much for you, brother, but I'll pray. Oh, to God. That's the greatest thing you can do for anybody, to pray. But we don't put prayer as one of those important items in our agenda. We think prayer is like a last resort, a panic button. But for you and I as Christians, it is our daily routine of speaking to the Lord. See, Daniel was a man who held to his convictions in the midst of a perverse and wicked and terrible, forced upon him culture. I know people that come from other countries, and I've written about this in the book. Some of you have known that they become bitter. They become bitter. They become angry, upset, that they can't accept what they have today. They want to go back, and when they go back, it's worse than when they left. And they just don't fit. No, you fit when you look at God's will in your life. And all through scriptures, you find that God orders the paths of the righteous. That God allows you to walk in his steps without you even knowing about it. Because God's not going to be waiting for your approval. He doesn't sit down and say, okay, mira, vas a tomar Lanchile. Y de Lanchile vas... No, he doesn't do that. Lanchile is an airline company. He just allows you to move and you walk because you're the sheep and you hear his voice and you follow him. So praying for the city. Let's go back to the beginning of our message this morning in order for me to conclude. Because the text said something very valuable. Here is Nebuchadnezzar has this big dream. And they can't figure out what he dreamed. He it's a long story. Read it in your spare time. We'll talk about it later on as to how we build our own statues and our own images next Sunday. But here, he wants an interpretation. And so they said, you know, there's only one guy that can really do this. It's the guy, the people we brought from Jerusalem. And so Daniel comes in, and they were going to slaughter all the wise people. Among, he was one of them, because they could not come up with a, what did the dream was about. And so the way that he's introduced to the court, I think I need to read it, because I think it's just I get a chuckle out of it. Because here he is in front of the king, and in chapter 2, and in verse 26, the king asked Daniel, parentheses, also called Belteshazzar, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? He got the two names. He was Jewish and he was Babylonian. He was bicultural, bilingual, multilingual for sure. He was involved in ways that superseded others because he was a useful tool in the hands of Almighty God, the only one that could resolve and get witness to the greatest king that ever lived in this world and say to him, it was God of the Jewish people, the real God. He is the one that's going to interpret your dream. He was actively involved in the culture, and yet he still kept his name, Daniel. But he was also Belteshazzar. See, it just blows my mind, because this bicultural part of Daniel's life needs to be exploited in your life and in my life. Trained in the Babylonian culture, yet his heart reserved with God. You need to know what goes on around your city. You need to know what goes on around the town. You need to know what's going around you, but you still keep your heart to God. So how in the world do I do that? How do I live in a culture that is hostile to God? Pray. Lord, keep my heart to you. I'm surrounded by hostile forces, Lord, but I want to live for Jesus. And you do so. So when they say you want to do drugs, I don't do drugs. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross, so you don't have to. Hey, come on, let's do this, let's do that. Hey, sex party. No, I don't go that. Why? Because Scripture tells me that that God has somebody for me, and I guard my purity. And when I get married, I will have all the sex in the world. I'm going to wait until then. Not too many people are smiling at this point. If it happens, it happens. When you're born again, you begin your life again, and you make a lifestyle choice that you're not going to contaminate yourself with the world, and you live for Him. When all of a sudden a bunch of stuff comes to you and you look at your Facebook, I mean, I'm not on Facebook, though I have an account, but I never use it. And I'm not an Instagram or Dulugram or Mumugram or whatever grams. I'm none of that stuff, none of that, none. But I do have a cell phone. And there are some people that have gotten my number. I think they sell the lists. And there's a couple of them that I have to be very careful with, because it's porn. This one came with 17 different little points of people. I don't know 17 people. Well, I do, but. And I said, I'm not going to push that button. If I push that button, I don't push it. And they keep singing it and sending it, and I keep ignoring it and ignoring it. And I said, this is a stupid test, because I've done this very well. I get A's every time the stupid thing comes through. That's living in the culture and keeping your heart towards God. You can't help things going around you, but you can sure help by drinking it, not drinking it. So you pray with intentionality. I know what it is to go through high school, a long time ago, but hey, those days were the Beatles. LSD, we invented that. And weed was really good, so they tell me. I never smoked. I never inhaled. I never got drunk. Well, when I was 5, 6 years old, yes, I did that. I saw a bottle of anise in a cupboard where my aunt had it. I wondered what it was, and I climbed with some chairs, and I got it. And I just drank half of it, and I got black. I just got thrown against the floor. Ah. I was hoping my aunt would never find out. She found out, but I was 5, 6 years old, you know. Never again. So, yes, I'm a recovering alcoholic. You have to make choices in your life. So when we would go to high school, everybody was high on something, especially Mondays. Oh, the parties all night. I was tired on Monday because I had a hallelujah hangover because I was in church all day Sunday. Got home at 1 o'clock in the morning from services. The last church services they had was in Pacoima with Bishop Andrew Crouch. His grandfather was the bishop who had a radio program in Pacoima. Tried to go to Pacoima in 19. Well, try to go to Pacoima. So, yeah, we had to make choices. So you say to me, it's so hard today. It was hard back then. It was very hard back then because I was young and stupid. I say that with the greatest reverence. So don't come and tell me I can't live the Christian life today because of all the temptations. We had just as much then as we have today in proportion. What do you think we got here? We got here because of the invention of evil that came through part of my generation. I need to end. But you pray with intentionality in your heart. I am not going to assimilate into the world. I am not going to be like the world because I am not like the world. The Lord brought me to this place and at this time so I could serve him. I am not going to live separately. You know, by separately, what I'm trying to say is making islands and not wanting to have nothing to do with your culture. You're separate unto God, but you're in the world. I'm going to let my light shine where I am. I'm going to serve God where I am. I am going to serve God where I am. I'm going to serve God where I am. So when I read Jeremiah and I read Daniel and I see what God was able to do in the lives of those people, I take courage that all of us can make it in Babylon. Because if you think that you are out of Babylon, you're out of your mind. If you think things are going to get better, I don't know what better is. I know what worse is today than yesterday. And every day some grenade is thrown at you to test your faith. And media is so responsible. 90% of all the problems you and I have to cope with is because of those talking heads that speak lies to you and to me. You have to listen to God's voice. You have to live your life, the life before the Lord. And you need to pray for the city. You need to pray for the peace of the city, that God would help us be lights, that God would help us shine, that God would help us be everything we need to be for him. You can do it. If I could do it, you can do it. That's absolutely true. I did it. Oh, you are smarter than me. I see. Okay, good. When you get to be 62 like I am, don't laugh. When you get to where I am, let's see how you're doing. You need to say no to the world and yes to the Lord. You need to live in the midst of a wicked and crooked generation. But you can do it. You can do it. Lord, I thank you because your word says greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And Daniel did it. He served your Lord. And he had the ear of the king. And when things came to those moments of great stress, the answer laid with those whom you called to be your people. So, Lord, I pray that this morning you will touch us and you will strengthen us, that you will give us the desires of our heart, that you will allow us to be who we're supposed to be in the midst of a wicked and crooked generation, not living by condemning everybody, but living by showing a witness of your grace and your kindness towards the whole world. So, Lord, we want to affirm our life to you, our hearts to you. We belong to you, Lord. We belong to you, and you have a plan for our lives, a plan to prosper us, to make us well, not to destroy us. You give us a future, Lord, and that future is in you. We thank you. So now, Lord, we come to you with needs and difficulties that exist, and I pray that you will cover them, Lord. Those needs, Lord, in the internet, we pray that you would touch people's lives, that will touch him and her, that you will bring healing to that marriage. Father, I pray that you will deliver people from pornography, from addictions, from cigarette smoking, from drugs. Father, I pray that you will take away the demon of sexualization that comes to our society through the mass media. I pray that you would help us to preserve our hearts for you, Lord, that in the midst of this difficult time we're living in, we will be shining lights for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen, Lord, and amen.
Jesus, just something.
Can you lift one hand at least and sing?
About that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain.
Be refreshed in the Lord. Be refreshed in the Lord.
Jesus.
This is the day. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all in Jesus' name. Amen. See you Saturday. Servicio en Español.
We're so glad you're able to join us today. If you would like to see the full service with the worship time included, you can go to our Facebook page by clicking on the link below. If you'd like more information about our church, you can also visit our website at www.bb4square.org. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. See you next week. God bless.